Good morning, everyone. I'm a bit nervous, but the amazing thing is just to see all the work that's happening. 412, what a great camp you all had. Amazing. And to see so many youngsters, I think that is our next generation. And I want to thank God for that. And thanks for the lovely worship we had as well. When this whole theme on men of daring faith came up, I was in the Book of Kings, and Chronicles followed after that. And I was amazed by this particular king. His name was Hezekiah. And so I've chosen to speak about him. If you can just get that, that is him. He was a very young man. Robin, come here. What age are you? At that age. For you all to have an idea, Hezekiah ascended the throne in his 20s. But just a little bit back, we begin to realize, why did God really create us? And in Genesis, it says, right from the beginning, his one intention was that he would have fellowship with us. We would enjoy him, and he would enjoy us. And what happened? Then came the fall, and right through, then as you read through the Old Testament, book after book, the people chosen by God turned away from him and turned towards the nations, turned towards the gods that those nations followed. And it was just so disheartening, and must have been for God to see, my people have turned away from me. And so they wanted kings. God instituted kings. They wanted judges. He instituted judges. Then the prophetic people came. And then Jesus comes. And in John 4, he comes back to the original reason for which he says, John chapter 4 and verse 23, yet a time is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And really, this is the only and the most important thing. And so when we go back and look at King Hezekiah, you know, of the nation of Israel, Solomon had dedicated his temple. They were just one. If you put those maps up, just so that you get an idea, because I got confused reading the Book of Kings and Chronicles. This was the kingdom of Israel. And there were the 12 tribes there. But the tribes began to fight with one another. And so they divided into the kingdom of Israel, the northern territory, and the kingdom of Judah, the southern territory. And so that became a little clearer to me, because as I was reading through, I said, what's Israel and what's Judah? But when you see the map, it begins to become a lot clearer. So let's go back to 2 Kings and chapter 18 and verses 1 to 3. Yeah. In the third year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old. You saw Robin? He was around that age when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. You know, they say that there were about 19 kings in Israel, the northern territory. Not one did what was right in the eyes of God. And in the southern territory, there were several kings. There were about 4 who did what was right. And quite often when you look at the antecedents of a person, you realize some influence would have come from there. And here it's clearly saying Ahaz was his father. And let's see what Ahaz did. So if you just can go back to the power of influence, and you will see and think for a moment, who are the ones who influenced your life? Ahaz, he did not follow in the ways of his father. He did everything that was wrong. So he turned away from God. He looked at these massive nations around him. He saw that they had huge armies, and he thought, maybe their gods are the ones I should follow. So he made cast idols and worshipped Baal, and he burned sacrifices and even sacrificed his own sons in the fire. I think Hezekiah was the one who was spared. So he did all this. He followed the detestable ways of the nations. He burnt incense at every high place and under every spreading tree. And the next one. He took the silver and gold found in the temple and gave it as a gift to the king of Assyria who had come against him. Finally, he shut the doors of the house and set up altars at every street. And you can just imagine us. We are the people of God. And imagine we go downwards from one step to another till finally we shut the doors in our own heart and turn away from God. It's possible. It is possible. It has happened to so many. It can happen to us. And we see that therefore Ahaz was no influence. Imagine Hezekiah growing up in a nation and in a family like this that had turned away completely from God. And so what? So who influenced him? And I think there's a little key when it says his mother was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. And the books say that Zechariah was from the Levitical priesthood. It's in all possibility that his mother influenced him. And his mother influenced him against all that was happening. And Zechariah, his grandfather, must have also encouraged him and blessed him. So I'm saying it's so important. The power of influence is so important. I do want to say to the mothers over here, so many of you have prayed, have taught your kids the right way, have wept when they have gone astray from God. Mothers have played such an important role. Abijah was one like that. And when you see what King Hezekiah did, then you'll realize the power of influence. And God is looking for those who can influence us. About a month ago, a lady walked into our house. And she was from another faith, but she had turned to the Lord. She lived in a small village, I think in Karad, in Maharashtra. And we were just asking, how did you come to the Lord? So she said, well, my dad was from another faith, but my mom, I would now and then see her with a book, and she would be praying. And she said, we went through very dark days because dad was an alcoholic, and he would beat them up and he would have fights with his mother. And she said, I would go running off somewhere. Eventually dad died. She said, dad died and mom was left. She worked in a ration shop. But she said, every day I would see my mom with the Bible. I would see her praying to God and asking him to help. And sometimes they had no food. But she prayed, she worked hard. And gradually, she was able to educate her three daughters. Oh, this is the first one that we were talking to. And she said, I managed then to get into nursing college. But one day, I said to my mom, Mom, what's that book that you are reading? And her mom gave her a book. And her mom began to tell her. Because she said, there were times when there was no food. She said, I would go to college. I would manage food in my nursing college. And when I went home and said, Mom, what did you eat? And she said, I just had rice and chili powder. But she said, God is faithful. God will never let us down. And the people on this side were again from another faith, and they would ridicule this lady and say, it's because you are turning to that God. Come with us, and your children will be blessed. Your girls will be blessed. But this lady was such a solid lady. She trusted God. She believed God. She knew the real and the true God. And eventually she said, we all got educated. God has blessed us. They left the place, but quite often she goes back and she tells those people, my daughters are married. They've been educated. My youngest one has done her master's. Such is the influence of one silent person, a mother. And we want to thank God for all you women, even the ones who are single, for all of us, that we can all be influencers in some way or the other. About 2 months back, I heard this other story. When I got saved, there was a couple, Felix and Mavis. They were known. Nini got saved through them. And Felix and Mavis had two kids, and she was such an evangelist. So this was in the early 70s, when there were just a few of us who had turned to the Lord. And she had two children. We knew that her daughter had got married and gone to Dubai. And so I heard the story of her son. The son came to Xavier's. He was in Xavier's at the same time as my daughter was and Pastor Shelton's son. And this boy would be stoned. He was on drugs. And quite often Mark, Pastor Shelton's son, would say to him, "What are you doing here?" And he would, "Don't you know that your mom is working so hard and you're wasting her money?" And he would often invite him and say, "Why don't you come along with us?" And he would laugh and say, "Y'all are not for me." One day he said, "Why don't you come to a camp? We are going to a camp," you know, like this amazing 412 camp. Thank God for that. And he said, "I'll carry you if I have to carry you, but I'll take you there." So he went for the camp. And whilst he was at the camp, there was a move of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we used to pray one line on this side, one line on that side, put our hands up and make people go through the tunnel and ask the Holy Spirit to touch them. So as this boy went in down the tunnel, laughing, joking, fooling somewhere, halfway down, something happened to him. And suddenly he felt as if something black from inside was coming out of him, and he began to puke, and he reached the other end totally out in the Holy Spirit. They had to carry him back home. And the next morning, he had been so mightily touched by God. And the next morning, they asked him, "Why don't you speak to mom?" So they called the mom and said, "Your son wants to talk to you." And she said, "Don't tell me. Don't tell me he's up to his tricks again." And he just said, "Mom, I've given my life to the Lord." That boy today is Ben, who pastors Gateway Church in Dubai. He's got about 1,500 people. He's a young man. That's why Robin. He's a young man, Madhav. He's a young man. But somewhere, his mother, his grandparents had an influence on his life. And you know the things that we hear here in church, don't let them go from here. Hezekiah, in a day and age, in an apostate state, Israel had become like that. The fire of God burned in this young boy's heart, that at 25, he started doing the things he did. He ascended the throne. He knew God. He knew him so powerfully. God had touched his life. And so he said, when he got onto the throne, if we just can go to the next slide, the first thing, you know, it's, Scripture is so amazing because it says things that you then begin to realize that God puts an emphasis to it. He ascended the throne at the age of 25, and it says in the first month, in the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple. You know, why would God have put those words? In the first month and in the first, he went to work immediately. And what had been shut, he opened the doors of the temple and he repaired the temple doors. And you know, sometimes we talk about the first. What is the first and most important thing to us? Where are our priorities? And there is somebody watching from above. And you'll see that so often in Scripture when it talks about the first commandment. There is an emphasis and importance on the first. The first commandment is to? Yes, the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord. And God could have just said, "Love the Lord your God." But he didn't stop there. He says, love the Lord your God with your mind, soul, and heart. But he said, no, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your strength. And so that prayer of surrender that Roynton made and the song we sang, "I Surrender All," you know, quite often we will go to surrender our problems, but God is saying, I want you to surrender your all to me. This man had got it. He knew it. And that is why it's like a life that's set ablaze and a life that can Could he actually turn the entire nation? He turned, and from a very young age. So, you know, even in the Old Testament, God told Abel and Cain, "Come with the first fruits." There's something about the first. I remember a young man who told us how his mother taught him. She was a single parent, and she said, "My mom loved God. And my mom, whenever we got any gift, she said, 'Son, first tithe, then you can spend your money. And so it is this thing of first, that means high priority is given to God. That in everything, what is first and the most important? And the sad thing is in Revelation 2, when God is addressing the churches and he says, you have lost your first love. So it's possible for us also to lose that something. Yvette walked in and she was looking at Otis. She said, you know something? I'm a bit jealous. I said, yes, first love. And she said, yes, I'm a bit jealous. But it's true. So what is the highest priority? What is the first? What is the thing we do most important to each one of us? I met Florina the other day at Mahim, and she was saying, you know, Lynn, I get up in the morning. You can do what you want. My first part of the morning is for God. I'm amazed at that. Now I know work. I know there's a lot to do. I know, but somewhere, even if you spend that time at the end of the day, but it is most important to you. And this man knew what was most important. And the next thing he did was the right thing, to do the right thing. I was telling you there were 19 kings in Israel who did not do the right thing. 4 in Judah who did the right thing. Hezekiah was one. What are the things he did? He brought in the priests and Levites, assembled them and said, listen to me, consecrate yourselves and consecrate the temple. That can be applied to us, to consecrate, to set ourselves apart, that we do not follow the ways of the earth, world, that we do not follow the ways of people. We set ourselves apart and consecrate the temple. He said to them, remove all defilement from the sanctuary. And all defilement from the sanctuary. And the priests and the Levites did exactly what he was told. They got all the idols out of the temple and they destroyed them. They cleansed themselves. They consecrated themselves. He reiterated what his predecessors had done. He said, our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. And they shut the doors. He's reiterating all that they did. They burnt incense to idols. And he urged them not to be negligent about worship. You know, imagine Robin standing in front of us here. And this is what, where's the next slide? He urged them not to be negligent. He said, my sons, do not be negligent. Imagine a youngster, it's like Karishma even, a young person standing in front and said, don't be negligent now. The Lord has chosen us to stand before him, to serve him, and to minister to him first to stand before him, and then to serve him and to minister. And these are so important. To do the first thing, to do the right thing is all that Hezekiah did. Hezekiah then reinstituted the Passover. How did he do it? He said, I don't want it only for Judah. He sent couriers all across, even to the tribes in the northern territory. And he said to them, we are going to celebrate the Passover. So step by step, he did what was right. And the favor of God was upon him. It's just amazing when you read through Kings and you read through Chronicles to see what one man in his youth, when he was young, did. And he said to stand before him and to stand before God as being the right thing. So he did all the right things. And it's so important in our life that we do what's right. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. When you're in the workplace, you're exemplary. You're outstanding. You're doing your best so that others will observe and see you're doing the right thing. Why? Because I love God and I want to honor him in everything and in every way. And whatever skill or gift he's given, I will give it over to him first. And you will watch how God begins to use you. You know, my word is very short, but I just want to share with you that Hezekiah turned this nation of Israel back to worship after many years. First was David, then Solomon, and then all these kings who went away. And Hezekiah was a man who stood up and reinstituted worship. And I really think that that's what God wants. He wants our heart. He wants our heart first. Then he'll take whatever we give him with our hands, however we can serve him, but to have that first. So the application is, first of all, be open to godly influence by godly people. And we have plenty around. You know, there are people whom you can go to for advice who will take you down one track, or there are people who will give you godly and sound advice. And it's so important to be an influencer and to receive influence, but also to be those who will give godly influence. Today, there are so many of us. As Karishma said, if you look at all our sites, we are around 300 people. What a powerful influence we can be if we choose to be an influence. What Celine is doing is just so amazing. To just be so powerful and to be an influencer, knowing our time is running out. We don't know when we will have to leave the earth or Christ will come. So seek to be influencers through words and actions. Seek to be influenced with our whole life to influence the people wherever you are. I remember I started work at the age of 24. I went into Glaxo. I was so timid, so shy. And this huge company. And as I went in there, because the sense, presence of the Holy Spirit was so amazing at that time. So I went into Glaxo and I said, Lord, please help me. Help me to share the gospel, you know, like Celine and what Sydney was saying. It's so difficult to share the gospel with people whom you're working with. But I began praying. So I began praying, saying, Lord, will you please use me in this place? And then full gospel people, Dimash Shakarian had come down. And I went there and he was talking about meetings in companies, you know, business meetings in the morning. And I said, okay, we have a lunchtime break. I said, Lord, I just wish I could have a lunchtime meeting. While we finish lunch, we can just meet somewhere. And you know, gradually, I didn't know how to do it. I just began to share with one or the other about the Lord. And I never told them anything that had happened to me. But slowly, in that entire department I was working in, all the smutty jokes stopped. And then they began to ask for prayers and God began to answer. So I started a meeting in a small little room, a lunch break. We were hardly 5 or 6, whatever. As a young girl, I heard on a Thursday meeting, I would go and share the same. I took the song books there. And the Holy Spirit began to move with such amazing healing. I was amazed. People who were sitting far would pay attention, come and say, you know what happened to me? This happened to me. And then right across the company, they began to ask for prayer meetings. So from the branch office to the factory and to the head office. And so my Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I had prayer meetings all across. But it was the Holy Spirit, not me. He just moved. Many of them got saved. Some belong to our different churches, and I thank God for that. But to be an influencer, to want to be, however young, however old, God use me, is what. And the first thing is, God must be our highest priority. Revelation 2, may it never be spoken of us. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. You cannot tolerate wickedness. You have endured hardship, but you have lost your first love. And you know what that verse says? See the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. I was reading that, I got convicted. I said, Lord, I have gone away from the first, the most important, and from the first love. It says, see the height from which you have fallen. That means all the other things I'm doing, I cannot tolerate wickedness. I have endured hardship. I do this, that, but you have lost your first love. And we must remember, God has to be our first priority. And to ask him, Lord, will you please touch our heart, set it ablaze, because he wants to use us. And then to do the right things. As I said, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to be constantly aware, he lives inside me. I will therefore keep my body, you know. Thanks to Abhishek and Lini, we are hearing so much about internet pornography, hearing such horrific stories about what is happening. And you know, some of that is even happening in the church, that youngsters are watching pornography and the things that are happening as a result of it, the way the minds get twisted and tormented, Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse and remove all defilement. It is important to understand and to realize that for me, quite often God catches me when I get upset, when I get angry. And I realize I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be behaving like this. God, please forgive me. And if we walk with the Holy Spirit, He will guide us. We do not need to live in fear. It's an enjoyable life. It's an enjoyable life. You know, I'll end with this story. There was a group of young boys that were doing a Bible study, and their professor decided to take them for a tour of all these places of great men of God in England. And so they went to the home of John Wesley. John Wesley had been used by God to spread the gospel like Celine did, like Celine does, but he had to go on horseback to reach the people. And he shared the gospel, and England got transformed through that. And so they went to John Wesley's home. It's been preserved as a heritage structure. So they saw his table, they saw the books, they saw his notation, they saw the library behind. And these students were quite amazed. And then they went up and his bedroom, and it was a four-poster bed, and the carpet was there. And suddenly someone noticed, what are those two spots where the carpet is frayed? And the guide told them that that's where John Wesley spent hours praying to God. And that's what happened. And then they all trooped out and they went back into the bus, and the guide is counting how many of them. He was actually their lecturer. And he says, one is missing. And he goes running back and, you know, calling. He didn't know who was missing. Looks down in the hall, there's nothing. Goes running up to the bedroom, and there was this young boy, 19 years old, kneeling in the same spot. And he said, with his eyes turned up to God, tears running down his face, and said, God, you did it then, do it again, and do it through me. And he was sobbing and sobbing. And, you know, that man went on to live till 99. He died 2 years back. He is the great Billy Graham. He was the boy who was influenced, but it wasn't an emotional influence. He knew, this is what I had to do. This was the right thing. The first thing, the right thing. That's him all across the world. And I have read his book. I have met people who got saved through him. And he died 2 years back. The stadiums in the US were always filled whenever he went to preach, or Europe. But that, and I feel when Billy Graham died, Bob Jones died, the great men of yesteryear have gone. The great men. And I feel that on the one hand, our nation is at a place that we do not know what can happen. On the other hand, is this great expectation of what God is about to do. And I think the prophetic inclination now is that there won't be great men and women. There will be everyone. It'll be like Ezekiel, where the bones come together and he breathes his spirit and there rises up a mighty army. And I feel that's what God wants, that for every one of us, there's no one too great, there's no one too small. He's going to use each and every one of us if we dare to say, you did it then, do it again, God. Do it through me. Do it through me. And you know, in Isaiah 60, he says, arise and shine. For your light has come and the glory of God rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the people. I feel I am nearing 70. I feel I've not seen darkness like I'm seeing it today. Thick darkness, and the glory of God rises upon each one. There is not one, not one. And even Sydney says that again and again. For everyone, he wants to use every one of us, whether you are old and you can pray, but pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Whether you can do whatever you can do, do it with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Thank you.